Wednesday, February 28th. President had me in today and had obviously given a lot of thought to schedule. Said that the problem now is that we don't have a plan. The best thing is to have meetings that are regular. Otherwise, the people that he has to see take more of his time. That would apply to cabinet, White House staff, and congressional types. So he diddled around on which days to do what. Decided to use Tuesday mornings and Friday mornings. He wants to be clear from Friday noon on so he can take off for the weekend if he wants to. He wants to keep Thursday available generally for press conferences when he has them. So he decided on the cabinet. He wants to be sure he sees every member of the cabinet at least once every 2 weeks. To do that, he'll have an NSC a month, a domestic council meeting a month, and a cabinet meeting a month, spaced so that there's not a long wait between meetings for any individual. Then he'll meet with the consulars every other week for an hour at the EOB on Tuesday afternoons at 5, which he later changed to 4, and the Sheikh group of the White House staff on Thursday afternoons at 5, which he later changed to 4, and he'll maybe add a meeting so that there are two a week with them from time to time. Then he feels he should meet with a larger White House staff group on the same basis as he does the leaders when he gives them a briefing on some subject. So when he has a subject to cover, he wants to do that also with the White House staff. With Congress, he wants to meet on a three-week cycle. 1 week, the full Republican leaders, then the small group of leaders, then the bipartisan leaders. And in those meetings, have enough wild cards to fill the table. Bring the new leadership group into that as quickly as we can. All of this was to get the things that he has to do out of the way so that he could deal with the basic congressional problem that he thinks Ehrlichman raised with him yesterday and that he called me about last night on the need to spend time in therapy with congressmen. For that, he determined that he needs to take groups of 20 at the cabinet table and let them come in and bitch. And the question is, my mind, and I raised with him, is whether doing more with them as such as that does any good. And he says, well, that's true, and I need more thinking time. The question is, what's the better use of my time? About the only Democrats we have are the Vietnam group, so we're really just talking about the Republicans. And the question is, what can we talk about with such a group? Energy, trade are examples. He says there's no use the president sitting there to hear Ehrlichman brief on energy, though, so we should maybe do it on the basis of the committees, although they're too obsessed with their subjects, or on the basis of the consular areas, or all the candidates. Question, can you mix senators and congressmen? Maybe we should go on subjects. For trade, for example, we wouldn't get the loyalists in. We could get Javits and Percy and those people. Use a presidential meeting with the Timmons new leadership group. Keep the leadership small and spread out the group. He then got to the subject of the book Kennedy's 13 Mistakes, which he's read and found fascinating. Made the point that Kennedy blew practically everything and still got great credit for it, the line we've talked about before. Late this afternoon, he had the weekly meeting with Schultz, Ash, Ehrlichman, and me, the first half hour of which was consumed with a discussion of the governor's meeting today and our guys reporting on how the briefing went. A lot of discussion of the governor's attitudes and the president's comments on how to deal with them, and considerable discussion in that context of the budget revenue sharing, the need to keep selling that, the problems on impoundment and so forth. He then got into his general philosophic discussion, said the problem is that we're good managers and we do things because they're right, so we appear to be cold and efficient, and people measure compassion by passion for spending, and we don't have it. So we have to do like Bobby Kennedy, say you care about the poor folks, say we want to do these things. As a sub-theme to making our substantive case, we've got to make the case for the compassionate approach. The question is not cutting, it's a question of how much we increase. Symbolism is the area where we're weak. You can't get it across because we're not comfortable as demagogues. Then he got into his subject of the poison in the upper classes, the loss of faith in the country. They hate the country. They're corrupt, prejudiced. The country's corrupt and prejudiced, the whole McGovern argument thing. He says we're now seeing just the beginning with the establishment press trying to make the POWs a phony deal. It'll fail, though, because of television, and that's the only thing that saved us all along, is the live TV. He then started questioning particularly Schultz and Ash, baiting them on whether this whole battle with the Congress and all is worth it, that we're getting into a bloody battle, and if you do that, you must have the assurance, first, that you're right, and secondly, that if you weren't fighting the battle on this ground, it'd be on something else, which was Ash's answer to it, that this kept the battle on a good ground for us, and it was therefore worthwhile, even if it weren't solid substantively, which it is. He was trying to get them to waver, but I think both of them held their ground pretty well and satisfied him that they do feel we're on the right track. I think he is concerned, as he has been, about whether we are doing the right thing, but and does keep questioning it for that reason. But they seem quite solid on it, and I think he felt better as a result of the meeting. He did drag it on for quite a while, and this whole area of discussion and his soliloquies on his favorite subjects before he took off for the barbershop and then the governor's dinner tonight, end of February 28th.